Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that's the opening theme each and every week for Moving the Chains podcast. I know it's the 8 o'clock hour back east, 5 o'clock our time. Sometimes we have to kind of move things around. Next week, take note, we'll be on Monday morning, 10:30 in the Charlotte area, 7:25, 7:30 pre-chat in L.A. with some breakfast as we start to cover some games. So a lot of things are going to – we just want to let you, the listeners that have made this show really what it is, a great show each and every week. And we don't take time off. We move the schedule around, but we don't ever want to archive it. So, Mark Mancini here in Los Angeles, my sidekick that stirs the drink. She's in Charlotte, North Carolina, Danielle Orsino, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, I realize 30 minutes goes by quick. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, where you subscribe to podcast powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay that red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Danielle, you got a show coming up. Let everybody know, starting October 20th, a nice show. Let everybody know that one. Let everybody know how you're doing and how they can also get a hold of you before we get into this thing.
Thanks, Mark. Everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. The show I've got coming up with my extremely talented partner, C.R. Rice, it's called A Novel Beginning, and we'll be taking everybody through an author's reality, what it's like to be an author, the mistakes we've made, what it was like coming out with our first book. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a great chat, so I hope everybody tunes in for that. That starts in October, and we'll keep you abreast of everything. But for right now, Mark, let's get into it because it has been a crazy, crazy week one in the NFL. If anybody says the NFL is scripted, they have the most amazing writers in the free world because nobody could have written any of this. And let's jump into it because we know everybody's talking about it, the Aaron Rodgers injury. He went down in the fourth play of the game. He was on the field for about 5 minutes. He had an amazing run out of the tunnel carrying the flag. It was on 9/11. It was this whole thing. I don't think I've ever seen MetLife Stadium that excited about a player, much less a Jet, in I don't even know how long. And I have to say, I had goosebumps. I was so excited for the Jets. And then all the life was sucked out when he went down. He went down on a tackle, and he tried to stand up, and then he sat back. And when you see a player sit down, you know the injury's bad. Me, personally, I was really hoping it was a high ankle sprain because I was like, okay, he'll be back in like 4 to 6 weeks. He'll do some PRP, you know, that'll be cool. No, you could tell by the look on his face, like, he was stark white. And when you see somebody go pale like that, it's a visceral reaction. It's bad. So for everybody who doesn't know, and I can't imagine there's a football fan out there that doesn't know, it is a ruptured Achilles tendon. This means it is a complete tear. It was a violent, aggressive rupture. He popped it. So basically what this means is that there's nothing holding his calf muscle together anymore. The Achilles tendon is one of the thickest tendons in the body. He popped it completely. The best way to heal this is surgery. Rodgers has not said if he's going that route. I would assume he is as an athlete. The funny thing is J.K. Dobbins had the exact same injury for the Ravens the previous day. He is also out for the season. So let's start the rumor mill, guys. As we know from what Robert Saleh said, and I give Saleh a lot of credit because I think that man was like in the bathroom 5 minutes before that press conference going, you can do this. We're going to say Zach Wilson is our quarterback. Go ahead, dude. He went out there and said Wilson is the quarterback. It's his team. He has to say that because this week he faces the Cowboys. I know you guys all want to yell at me about the shellacking they gave the Giants. We'll get to that. I'll take my lumps in a second. But as of now, Wilson is the quarterback for the Jets. Jets wound up coming back. It was a crazy game against Buffalo. Once again, we'll get into all like the details about the game, but just bear with me. So, is Wilson really the quarterback? Here are the rumors. Let's start the rumor mill. Is Brady coming back? As of now, no one is reaching out to Brady from the Jets camp. There are a couple different reasons for this, and Mark, you can back me up on this. We all have to remember, right now, Brady has a piece of the Raiders, which is a little detail people keep forgetting. You can't quarterback and own a piece of a team or be involved like that. It doesn't work. Brady is not coming out of retirement for Rodgers. This is not happening. Nobody is reaching out to him. Nobody wants to reach out. Brady does not want to unretire for the third, fourth time, whatever the heck he says. This is not happening. It's very clear. As for Colin Kaepernick, yes, his agent reached out to the Jets within an hour after the injury. He made it clear Cap wanted another shot. At one point, the Jets were seriously considering this. They have put out a statement and said they are no longer considering Kaepernick because they want somebody who can work with Wilson. For some reason, Cap does not fit this. I'm sure the conspiracy theories will go crazy. I don't know. The other person that was considered was Chad Henne, who backed up Mahomes. Henne is retired, no longer interested. This leaves whoever is out right now, which is Carson Wentz, Joe Flacco, who did back up at one point last season, Nick Foles, Andy Dalton's been talked about. And then the other rumor I'm hearing, Mark, I don't know if you've heard this, is a possible trade for Tyler Huntley. And the thought is they could trade somebody in the running back room because right now the Ravens need it and get Huntley. That I have heard has the most legs besides the Kyler Murray trade, which from what I have heard, they are not going to do because they don't want anybody injury prone, which is why Cam Newton is not on the table or any of these guys that you have heard retired. They do not want anybody who they're going to wind up in the same position because right now, Zach Wilson is it. Tim Boyle is the practice squad guy. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Tim Boyle. And if you remember, Mike White is now backing up Tua in Miami. So these are the rumor mills that are going. Matthew Stafford was at one point on the table before Aaron Rodgers. And the Rams swear that he was never on the table, but I don't know how much I believe that. Anybody from the Cowboys, Jerry Jones said he will not trade anybody because, you know, Jones ain't going to help anybody out. So that is the rumor mill as it goes right now. Robert has said Wilson is our guy because he has to face the Cowboys. So, of course, he's got to put as much, you know, oomph into Wilson and being like, look, dude, put the headband on. You got to, you know, Ralph Macchio this thing. Daniel's son, go out there and do it because what else you got? Rodgers did put out a statement an hour ago. Everybody thought this was career ending. I'm still not convinced it ain't, but he said, to sum it up, he wanted to thank everybody for reaching out, DMing, connecting him. He's heartbroken. He's got to move through his emotions, deeply touched and humbled by the support as he begins the healing process. It is darkest before the dawn, and he shall rise again. He's proud of the Jets, 1-0. Sounds like he's not retiring from this, but I'll be honest with you, an Achilles tendon tear at his age, coming back is not going to be easy. Mark, that's my rant. That's my information for you. Take it from there.
Okay, you said a mouthful and then some, and I'll take it from here. And let me get to some of these comments before I throw my 2 cents in on it. Jack coming in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, says, hey, the Packers, I've heard you guys tell me the Packers would have the worst team in the league. They look pretty damn good against Chicago. They will take out Atlanta this week in Atlanta. So we'll find out after that if you guys still think they're going to have the worst record. Yeah, Jack, I still think you're going to have the worst record. I can get guys to beat the Chicago Bears. The Bears are pathetic, too. They're just a little bit better than you, even though you won. I didn't know Super Bowls are given the first week, but thank you very much. And, no, you're not beating Atlanta in Atlanta. Atlanta's for real. But let me get to this other comment. Dalen coming in from Chelmsford, Mass, regular. He said, I don't know if you've seen it, guys, but he's talking about you, Danielle. He said the Giants will be on next Thursday in San Francisco, and then they'll play a Monday night game against Seattle and New York. So back-to-back prime times for you, Danielle. And what is the NFL doing? I noticed the next two Monday nights are double Monday nights. I didn't even know that one. I knew this week was Carolina and Atlanta, or New Orleans and Carolina. Or, am I right on that one? And then it's Cleveland, Pittsburgh. But I didn't know next Monday night is a double two, and he's telling me it's Philly, Tampa, the Rams, and Bengals.
Well, Monday night, September 18th, it's the Saints and Panthers, and then the Browns and the Steelers. 7:15.
Okay, and then he's telling me there's another, the 25th now, there's another double Monday night.
Correct.
Wow.
The Eagles and the Buccaneers are start at 7:15, and then the Rams and the Bengals are at 8:15. So, yes, they're – I don't know why they're
– I wonder what
I
that
–
well, it used to be where they would have that to open Monday night. I didn't realize they'd have that the second and third Monday nights. So, now, are these games on ESPN or is one of them on something else? I'm trying to figure this thing out because you can't have both games on ESPN.
Probably one's ABC and one's probably ESPN. One is ABC.
Wow.
The Eagles on the 25th is ABC. And then so the other one will be ESPN.
And then what about this coming Monday night, Cleveland-Pittsburgh?
Cleveland-Pittsburgh is going to be that's going to be ABC.
Wow. So there you go. Thank you very much for the helpful information, Dalen. I'll tell you, you and I have been licking our wounds, and we'll get into the primetime games with you here momentarily. As you guys head west, we have the Monday night game, then we head west to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So you get Arizona and the 49ers, and then you'll come home and play Seattle, I guess.
Oh, God.
Two primetime games, one on Thursday, one on Monday. Meanwhile, the Steelers will get a primetime Monday night at home, and then they'll get a primetime Sunday night, third week of the year against Vegas. And I know the Vegas people have been talking a lot of trash and saying what they're going to do. Hey, listen, I had Vegas to do some damage three straight years winning the division.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have them doing anything this year. And maybe they'll do something. Who knows? But Danielle, talking about licking our wounds here, I didn't see the Cowboy game coming 40-0. And I kind of thought in the back of my mind that Western teams that come to Pittsburgh early on the season end up getting a jump on us. I don't know what it is. A couple years ago, the Raiders, I think the second week of the year, came in and startled the Steelers. There's been a Seahawk team that's pulled a surprise earlier in the year coming into Pittsburgh. So these teams coming in early into Pittsburgh jump on them anywhere from week one to week five, six. But after that, these Western teams come in December. You're going to find out the first week of December, the Cardinals come into Pittsburgh. That's hammer job. And I don't know if MC Hammer is pulling the hammer on that, but that's hammer job because no way those teams come into Pittsburgh when it's that cold and snowing and everything and do any damage. But I didn't see the Niners coming in there. I thought they were going to be a banged-up unit trying to lick their wounds from the Philadelphia game last year.
Nope.
I guess they came in and, you know, Pittsburgh, you know, to me, should have been prepared to play 3-0 in the preseason. I know it doesn't mean nothing, but how do you not have your team prepared after you had a nice preseason and you're at home? You're at home. It doesn't make any sense. And this is what I'm afraid of the Steelers. This year, the hype train now is starting to play a thing, and your Giants, wow, big contract Daniel Jones, and the Cowboys ran in there and smoked them.
Oh, they destroyed them. I can't even – I can't say one thing to possibly defend them. If I was anywhere near MetLife Stadium, they would have to carry me out there because I would be threatening people. This is what I was afraid of with Danny Dimes, who I'm going to call Danny Two Pence, because that's about all he's worth. And I just had this fight with my brother who turned around and said, well, you can't blame him. He just didn't have time. I can blame him to a point. The blame to me falls on Brian Daboll and Joe Schoen. Why did you not fix the offensive line? You went and bought Danny Dimes all these shiny new toys, and, oh, we're going to get him Darren Waller, we're going to do this. You have to fix the O-line. If you don't give – first of all, you knew Micah Parsons was coming after him. It doesn't take a genius to figure this out. Evan Neal did nothing. I mean, he literally stood aside and went, hi, do you want to sack my quarterback? Go right ahead. Let him run for his life. Shall we all watch? What the heck? Okay, I get it. He was running for his life the whole night. Yeah, but then you went and you forced a lot of plays, which wound up with interceptions. It was disgusting. And then you do it no less with Manning, Hostetler, and Sims there. I mean, we look like a Pop Warner team going after the Cowboys, and it's the Cowboys, no less. It was just disgusting to watch. There was nothing nice to take away from it. I don't even know what they did, but you didn't fix the O-line. You went, spent all this money on a quarterback who still needed a season to prove himself. I would have just tagged him. I don't know why you gave him all this money. We needed one more season for him to actually do some work. Put the money in the O-line. You can go get him all these beautiful speed guys, and that's great, but if you don't fix the O-line, it doesn't matter. If he doesn't have time to actually look, why are you doing this? To me, it's kind of football 101, but once again, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But the guy spent the whole time scrambling, running for his life. He couldn't get his feet set. His footwork looked completely off. The times that he did run, good for you, but that's how he's going to wind up getting hurt. And then what do we have? Tyrod Taylor to back it up? Tyrod's an okay guy, but he's not taking us anywhere. And now we still have to deal with the 49ers. We've got to travel. Then we got to deal with Seattle. I mean, okay, we got the Cardinals. Hopefully that'll get our confidence up. But even our pass rush, we did okay in the beginning against the run defense. I was kind of like, okay, we're stopping Pollard. Good job. Good job. That's yay, you know. But then the blocked kick, the blocked field goal, I didn't see where the guy came from. What are we doing? I was waiting for one of Wink Martindale's, like, amazing defensive plays, and I'm like, here we go. It's coming. Come on, Deontay Banks, Pinnock, let's look at, like, something's going to happen. And I was like, did they go and get, like, a Pop Warner team to suit up? Is that what happened? And Dimes, I did not see any fire from him. At least when, and I'm not a Brady fan, let's be clear, at least when Brady was losing, you would see him marching up and down the sidelines, like, getting mad, getting in people's faces, like, trying to get his team going. At one point, Dimes, I thought it was crying. Like, there was no fire. So I'm kind of reserved on this team, and I'm looking at him going, guys, I just want a little fight. I want a little something. The turf was an issue. At one point, I'm like, when did he get freckles? And then I'm like, oh, that's the new turf that Mara decided he had to have? Well, it's made from recycled tires. Why didn't you put grass? You spent all this money, and that's what you went with. Here we go. So I got nothing, Mark. I'm disgusted. And fix the O-line, you idiots. That's been a problem for 3 years.
Well, here's the problem, Danielle, when you look at it. Nobody's going to run away with this division. I'll tell you that right now. When you look at the Eagles, they struggled to beat a New England team that, you know, kind of had chances to beat them. And I'm not sold on the Cowboys. You know, I'm really not sold on the Cowboys. So
no,
when
I'm
you
not
look
sold
at
–
yeah. Now, they'll get the Jets this week, and the Jets are beat up, so they'll take advantage of that. And thank you very much. Calls himself Big Al out of Irving, Texas. Thank you very much for listening to the show, Big Al. He said Cowboys are going to the Super Bowl. Sorry, Danielle, we'll have to just whack you again when you come to Dallas. And the Commandos, or whatever they want to call themselves, aren't going nowhere either, man. Say, well, Big Al, I see there's celebrations in a lot of cities after the first week. The dude that commented on the Green Bay Packers, and we're talking to Packers. Danielle didn't say anything on that, so let me shoot the blame here myself. I'm the guy that said the Packers will have the worst record in the NFL. So you can hold Mark Mancini to the coals on that one. Big Al, the Cowboys, I know we all get excited the first few weeks and everybody's talking, but there'll be crickets coming. you know, in the week 12 through 16, you know, they're usually the crickets in Dallas and Vegas. We don't hear, you know, everybody telling me next year, kind of like the Dodgers, you know, everybody, you know, they win regular seasons and then October comes and the leaves start to turn and, you know, the Dodgers lose and we'll see in, you know, in March and everything. And here comes, no excuses, guys, make adjustments. The Cowboys ain't going nowhere either. And the Giants had a bad game. Now they can, you know, resurrect themselves. They're on the road the next two. You know, maybe you could smack Arizona around, Danielle. I know we're going to smack the Cleveland Browns around. But there was some upsets. And, you know, when people are kind of comments here about the Bengals got upset and stuff like that. Yeah, everybody got, you know, I will tell you one game I had, and everybody else was going the other way on this. And Danielle can vouch for me. I had the Dolphins over the Chargers. And I look at the Dolphins,
yes,
like I look at the UCLA Bruins. They jump out. They're 4-1, 5-2 usually, first few weeks. The Dolphins tend to go south in a hurry, you know, in later part of the year. Once after Thanksgiving, the Dolphins start to fade on you. And then they get in that 30-degree temperature, and they really, I think they're 1-30 or something. So the Dolphins pulled one, and I'll tell you one thing. The first coach is going to be out of there is the guy in L.A. is Staley. He's got to go, man. He's definitely got to go. They got a new offensive coordinator from Dallas, but the Cowboys really didn't miss that guy, did they?
It didn't look like the Cowboys were missing Callen at all.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, McCarthy looked like he was comfortable with everything. Dan Quinn, obviously, on defense looked great. You know, I have to say, I think Brandon Cook was the X factor for the Cowboys. He seemed to light the fire under everybody's butt. You know, CeeDee Lamb was not a factor as much as I expected him to be. But it was Brandon Cook and really it was Micah Parsons. You know, that was the major factor in all of this. But, yes, you called Miami. You know, I called the Eagles as a lock. I really did think Chicago was going to do a lot more, but Chicago did what it usually does. It disappointed. You know, that's what it did. As for the Bengals, I'll be honest, Joe Burrow came back way too soon from that calf injury, which you and I discussed that he should have sat out the first 2 weeks. He did
right.
not move correctly. He did look sluggish, but this is Joe Burrow's issue. When has he had a full preseason? Between the appendicitis, the leg, he's never had a preseason. He takes longer to get going, but he didn't look right. I think Joe Burrow needs to really sit back. I get he got the big contract and all this other stuff, but he needs to watch it because calf injury he had is very similar to the calf injury Rodgers had and that he was complaining about during preseason. When you push through some of these injuries, you're not being a tough guy. You're setting yourself up for a more serious injury down the line. You need to be careful. I think Burrow came back way too soon. You know, the other upsets, we had the Lions, which I've been saying, if you remember, Mark, I've been saying for a couple weeks now, watch the Lions. They could surprise us, and they did shock the Chiefs. The one thing I will say is I'm tired of announcers being like, oh, this win should have an asterisk next to it. No. A win's a win. I don't care if a lesser team knocks off a better team. That doesn't make the win any less. I'm sorry if you don't like the Lions and you like the Chiefs and you think Mahomes is the greatest thing to ever walk God's green earth. He still got beat. That's what the game is. If the same team keeps winning over and over with a great record, it's not fun anymore. The whole point of these games is that sometimes somebody upsets it, and it's phenomenal. And we're all like, holy cow, we didn't see that coming. The underdog did it. Wow, that's great. So I don't want to hear people say an asterisk. And they did the same thing to the Bills-Jets game. When another team that you don't think should win beats a better team, we don't asterisk it. So I'm kind of tired of the announcers like making those little comments. I don't think it's
right.
fair to the team that wins. That's my opinion.
Right. Now let's look in next week's games in the last 6 minutes. Is there any game that sticks out to you? We kind of talked about the Giants going to Arizona. We looked at the Jets hobbling into Dallas. We talked about Cleveland. In Pittsburgh, I'm going to throw two games that stick out to me. I think okay. Buffalo just ramrods Las Vegas in Buffalo. I think they just tear them up. And the second game is, you know what? I think, you know, as crazy as this may sound, I might pick the Rams over the Niners. I don't think the Niners can make it two straight weeks on the road.
I was looking at those two games myself. I'm curious because I think this is where we're going to see what the Raiders are made of, because Josh Allen has got to come back from those four interceptions. And that's been Allen's problem when we've said that. He forces too much. This is where we're going to see what the Raiders are made of. Can they do anything against the Bills? I don't think the Raiders are going to win, but I want to see him put up a fight. That's my first thought. But I'm looking also at this Packers-Falcons game. I love the Falcons' defense. I love their run game. I am not convinced on Desmond Ridder, and I've said this before. While I like all the moves that the Falcons made offseason, I am not in on Ridder. And I think if the Falcons can fix the QB situation, I do think the Falcons are in on something. But I'm not sure. And I still, the Packers played the Bears, and while I thought the Bears were going to be something, and I'll take that hit, I really did. Jordan Love looked good, but it was against the Bears, and the Bears' defense didn't show up. So I'm interested to see the metal that these two teams are made of with the Packers and the Falcons. So I'm looking at that game a little harder, and then I'm looking at the Lions-Seahawks game. Do the Lions go in with the juice from beating the Chiefs, or do they get lazy and let the Seahawks steamroll them?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Hey, as we start to wind this show down, I know we'll be back Monday morning, guys. Make notes of it. We've hit 373 right now. Unbelievable. Thank you very, very much for making us part of your shows each and every week. Make note again, like I said, this coming Monday we're on, not next Wednesday, this coming Monday. And you guys seem to make the adjustments. Whenever we go Wednesday, Monday, we let you know. Monday, 10:30 in the morning, 7:30 in the morning on the West Coast. Tune it in. We'll be back on to make up for Wednesday, and then we'll be back to our regular schedule following week. Danielle, as we wind this thing down, give me a sure shot and give me don't be surprised before we sign off and let everybody know how they can get a hold of us.
Sure shot. I'm going to take, looking at this, I'm going to take the Dolphins over the Patriots. That's my sure shot. Prized, I think the Colts over the Texans. So because the Colts, Anthony Richardson, I like him, but I still think he's got some growing. And going by the way, D'Amico's with the Texans as he's coaching, I think the Texans could still put up a fight, but don't be surprised if the Colts run away with that game because I think the Colts are kind of feeling themselves a little bit. So I want to see how that goes. How about you?
Don't be surprised tomorrow night if Minnesota pulls a stunner in Philly. I think, with Kirk Cousins here, I don't know. I like that one. My sure shot is Atlanta is going to kill Green Bay in Atlanta come Sunday. So that was it. As we wrap this up, Danielle, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you again.
You can catch me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. Let me know what your sure shots are or what you think is going to happen this season. And then you can always check out my books on Amazon. The series is Birth of the Fae. It's a fantasy series. And, check it out. Let me know what you think.
Okay. She's Danielle Orsino. Couldn't do the show without her. One of the best. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Have a blessed one. We'll touch bases with you guys Monday morning. Rise and shine on the West. You'll be finish your breakfast on the East Coast. Till then, have a blessed one. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Good night, everybody.